Where is it at? The chandelier room?
Oh, yeah. So if you go up into the fellowship hall, you'll see it.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a little, like, room with a chandelier in it.
Okay.
Welcome to the Emmanuel Network podcast. My name is Johnny Atkinson, and I am the communications director for the Emmanuel Network. The Emmanuel Network exists to help pastors plant and cultivate healthy churches for a global harvest. This is episode 3 in this short series where we're sitting down with some of our church partners. In this episode, I get to chat with Matthew DeLauder, who is pastor of Emmanuel Community Church in New Orleans, Louisiana.
My name's Matthew DeLauder. I've been married to Annie for 11 years this summer. And so we have 3 kids, Bryson, who's 9, Eliana, who's 6, and Patton, who's 4. So we're in New Orleans, been down there since 2015. I originally grew up in Mississippi and moved to Louisville in 2007 and was, at Emmanuel for, I think, about 6 years before we were sent out.
Yeah, tell us your testimony. How did you come to know the Lord?
Yeah, so I grew up, like I said, I grew up in Mississippi. Grew up I grew up in small town Mississippi, but there's not a lot of large towns in Mississippi. So I grew up in a fairly rural United Methodist church. My mom took me every Sunday. That's what I kind of remember growing up. It was even though it was rural, I mean, it's mainline Protestant, so it was very high in liturgy. So, like, I went back and preached there actually recently about a year and a half ago. And, I mean, it's almost like it's the same order of service. And I think I found that boring as a child. And I really did. I hated going. I wanted to be like my dad. My dad was a little more, I would say, agnostic as I was growing up. He came out of a Mormon family. And so, so I would see him stay home on Sundays, and so I'm like, why am I getting up early, going? And so, my mom, she was faithful to take me in. And I think, though, like, just like that regular liturgy that they had was actually good for me. I'm sure there was some sermons that probably shaped my thinking, but I know every week we said the Apostles' Creed, we sang the doxology, we sang the Gloria Patri. So that really shaped kind of Trinitarian theology in my unbelieving mind, and a lot of other things that just were very regular. And I would say things that we even see reflected in our services today at Emmanuel in New Orleans. It's around 12. I was really close with my grandpa. He got sick after he retired and eventually died. And so I think during that time, I would just like lay in my bed at night and just reflect on death. And it's kind of like I had to face it now. I had someone who was intimate in my life, someone I knew. This wasn't like some random person in an obituary. No, this is like my grandpa who he's gone now. He's dead. And so like I'm having to deal with death. And so just through a lot of that, somehow during that process started just seriously considering the gospel more. My grandma, who just recently passed away, I still have this Bible she gave me. She gave me this King James Version Bible. So like I'd read it and I'm like, man, I can barely understand what's being said here. But I would faithfully read it. And so it's hard to say, when I first believed, but it was during that time the Lord really just started to change my heart and warm my affections for Jesus. And then I would say, like, as I went through high school, I ended up leaving that Methodist church and joining a Southern Baptist church that my friends went to. And during that time, I tell people now, it almost felt like a mini revival, because still a lot of those friends who are part of that youth group are still in ministry, still just laboring faithfully. And that was a real formative time in my life. So high school and college. And then while I was in college playing football, I was beginning to consider pastoral ministry, which was a crazy thought for me. I think, like, growing up, I was like, I didn't really have a great respect for pastors. I don't really know why that is, but just, I don't know, like, because looking back, like, there's like, even if I look back at that United Methodist Church, now I look back, I do look with some respect. I remember there was this pastor one time, his pastoral prayers, I kid you not, were like 10, 15 minutes long. So I remember if we'd ever show up kind of late and he was in his pastoral prayer, I'd just be like rolling my eyes, like, we're going to be sitting outside forever. But like, looking back now, like, I appreciate that, because like, maybe I didn't appreciate it that time, but what I remember now is like, man, he really took it seriously going before the Lord in prayer. So I don't know how I got there, but anyways, so very formative times in high school and college, and I'm starting to consider ministry. And then one of my friends, I was kind of at a fork in the road, with football. I was either going to go try a walk on at this university and play, or basically go to Bible college with my friends. And then one of my friends, who is a fellow pastor now, Cody Cunningham, he really challenged me. He's like, you know, I feel like if you pursue football, you're just kind of pursuing your own desires and just kind of seeking, you know, just to, yeah, pursue a dream that, you know, is really, it feels like it's kind of done for you, and you could go ahead and start, you know, training to be a pastor. And he thought that I should do that. And so, like, man, like, it's something about what he said just really, like, I think the Lord used it. And so, man, I had, like I said, I hadn't been Southern Baptist long. I had no clue about the Southern Baptist Convention. I just, like, yeah, I don't know. I even had these weird thoughts about Southern Baptist since I grew up, you know, United Methodist. It's a culture I didn't know. But he was moving up to Louisville, and so I didn't know what to do. So I was like, well, I'll just move up to Louisville and go to whatever school you're going to. And I came up here. I had no clue who Al Mohler was, never heard of him, no clue what the conservative resurgence, they said something about, you know, Southern Baptist being theological liberal, and I was like, what? Like, these are things you're just like, I had no clue. And even, like, I think my first three semesters, I just signed up for whatever class Cody took, you know, just because I really had no clue what I was doing. So, but that's basically my testimony, just kind of just simple, ordinary means. And the death of my grandpa kind of leading me to consider those simple, ordinary means all the more seriously.
So back up a little bit. Tell us when you moved to New Orleans, and then what's it been for the last 5-6 years? Highs and lows of ministry. What do you see the Lord do?
So we moved there in 2015. And my goal in the first year there was just to kind of, for us to settle in and to build relationships. That was my goal in the first year. And since I played, just football and sports growing up, I think one thing that afforded to me, like, there's a lot of things that work. So, like, growing up in Mississippi, obviously growing up in a context where there had always been, like, a history of racism. And then, like, me playing a lot of sports, you know, sometimes I was only, you know, white guy on the team. And so it just allowed me to build a lot of relationships with guys who I consider friends. And so there was definitely some, like, burdens there as I was a Christian and trying to think through, you know, my own state where I grew up, and just the past injustices that happened there, and, you know, what do these things look like in terms of just these friendships I have, but also just going into a city like New Orleans that is predominantly African American, and not coming in like some white savior, but just really coming in to serve and to, Lord willing, raise up leaders in that context. That was my initial desire, like, coming to New Orleans, and it's one that we're still kind of, you know, plugging away at. This is one of the things I shared earlier. I think one of the things that we consider a highlight and something that just has encouraged us this past year is, like, in that first year, our goal was to invest in the youth of the city. And so with my background in sports, I knew, like, okay, I don't know how I can, you know, build relationships here, but I know football. And I know, like, in a city like New Orleans that loves football, this is an easy way to build relationships and really exercise influence. So I just immediately started coaching rec ball and built friendships with kids in the community, started mentoring with a mentoring organization down there, and just getting in the schools and really just trying to be a friend to the kids I was mentoring, just being there to hold them accountable for how they were acting with their teachers, showing them appropriate affection, giving them encouragement and affirmation when I see like, I mean, even if it's just us, you know, playing a game of basketball and, you know, I see them do something well, just telling them things like, I'm proud of you. And so just trying to just be a good friend in their life. And whenever I have a chance, you know, which it's pretty easy, like, to, in one sense, to be able to share the gospel, because they're going to ask, well, what do you do? Well, I'm a pastor. Why are you a pastor? Yeah, well, here's why I'm a pastor. But early on, that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to invest in the youth in New Orleans, and particularly because what we were looking at in New Orleans has always had some significant crime. I think, I don't know, you see different statistics. I think we're still like one of the third highest crime cities, and maybe that's related to murder. But just a lot of crime in the city. And so we were like, well, we would just really like to step in and try to serve by, you know, building relationships with these kids who are like 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. And so that's what we spent that whole first year doing. And as we did that, that all kind of happened like, you know, in the Treme Lafitte neighborhood. And so as that happened there, we were like, well, you know, we didn't really know where we wanted to plant, but it seems like in the city, this is where we have most of our relationships. So we started meeting at Sojourn Truth Neighborhood Center. And, highs and lows in ministry, though, and I skipped something there. One of the highlights I shared a while ago is this past year, even with us past 4.5 years, been doing Bible studies in the neighborhood, had a youth Bible study that's been going on for about 2.5 years. So a lot of investing, being friends, sharing the gospel with these kids. And this is particularly through our brother, Andrew Hanna, who's really served well down there. But just like, in one sense, at least to our eyes, doesn't seem like a lot of fruit, other than, you know, seeing, you know, kids like entrust themselves to our, you know, our advice and things like that, but not like seeing someone like, I want to turn away from my sin and follow Jesus. And so I would say this year was the first year that we've actually seen that and have just been really encouraged. And not only by this kid that, he's 16 in high school, not just seeing him come to faith in the Lord, but just seeing Andrew's friendship towards him. Like, Andrew took him to a camp last year, and while he was at this camp, it was in Mississippi, he took him to tour Jackson State University. So just kind of just walking with him like a friend in life, just trying to help him think through college. And so, man, we've just been really encouraged by this kid. His name's Jeremiah, and just seeing him, has resolve in himself to not be like, you know, other students at his school in terms of like, yeah, just giving himself to sin, but just being salt and light there. Mm-hmm. So that would definitely be a high for us right now. It's just like, man, praise the Lord that, you know, as we have sought to love the kids in this community, to see one of them wanting to follow Jesus, wanting to be faithful to Jesus, wanting to honor Jesus with his life. I think Lowe's is just kind of the flip side of that, doing a lot of sewing and then just feeling like, man, it kind of seems like all for nothing, right? And I think just like when you do live in a city where there's a lot of crime, just I think just being grieved by seeing just life not being valued and just seeing the quickness of another human being to harm another person. And so, you know, that can weigh, you know, heavy on you. I mean, I've been doing football with kids before and have gunshots like go off like just 30 yards from me, and trying to race these kids into a community center, trying to protect them, and just like, just feeling the weight of that, like that. I think, and even the particular incident I'm talking about, it's like, I remember when that happened, we'd maybe been in the center for like 5 minutes, and all the kids were looking at me like, man, coach, can we go back out? And I'm just like, man, you're really unfazed by this. And which I was not. I had Bryson with me, and my heart's racing, and I'm just thinking, man, what just happened? But like, just seeing, like, for a lot of those kids, that was in a sad way, it was just normal. And even as I say these things, I want to be clear, like, man, we really love New Orleans, and we love the people there. And all of my neighbors, like, they look out for us. They are hospitable. I think that's something they even to like celebrate about the people in New Orleans is how hospitable they are. We'll even hear that, you know, it's a tourist city, so you'll see tourists all the time. And so I always like to ask them, well, like, what's your experience been here? It's like, man, these people here are so nice. So I think for us, sometimes we can become fixated because we're trying to minister to people and we're very aware of, like, you know, the dark parts of the city that we can kind of miss. But man, like, you know, we really do see the image of God being displayed in a lot of the people here.
Yeah, what are some of the plans and goals that you have for the future?
Yeah, I mean, so one of my plans, as long as I'm in New Orleans, we try to, like, we try to be really plugged into the city and trying to, like, you know, do ministry there, whatever that looks like. Like, we want to be preaching the gospel, but also, and a lot of us here were just having a discussion about this, but what does it look like to do mercy here? What does it look like to do justice here, to really serve our neighborhood? And so, like, we want to do that, but, like, also, like, we're also very aware that we're close to a seminary. Now, I wouldn't say we get, like, a ton of seminary students, but we also want to be mindful, okay, you know, providentially, we're here next to a school where people are being trained to understand the Bible and, you know, go and probably be in some type of vocational ministry. So, you know, we've created two tracks, a Timothy track and a Phoebe track, and we haven't particularly just created it for, you know, those people who'd be coming for seminary, but also for, I mean, we have people who are just lay people in our church going through those tracks. And so I just have a burden for, like, I think, and there's been different people, like, that I've seen do this well. I think the leaders of Emmanuel have done this well, but just developing, raising up leaders. I've seen Mark Dever do this well. But I think if I can do anything with the rest of my ministry in New Orleans, I just really want to pour into other leaders. And I think it's really helpful to just think, like, man, like, I really, and I think when you get to doing, like, what we've been doing, trying to plant a church, you kind of realize, like, man, I feel like I'm doing a pinprick, you know, in terms of, like, kingdom work down here. And so you begin to feel the end of yourself, which I think is a good thing. I mean, it can cultivate humility in your life and dependence on the Lord. But, but I think what that should lead you to is, like, man, I really need to entrust the gospel to others. And I really need to do all I can to share leadership, to raise other leaders up, mm-hmm. to send them out, whatever that looks like, whether it's here in the city or some rural town in Mississippi or, you know, to West Africa, whatever that looks like. I just need to be working hard to invest the gospel, to this good deposit that we've received, to guard it and to entrust it with others. And so, so, you know, we hope that that would happen one day in, like, a building of our own. You know, every time we talk about, like, we're pursuing a property down there, we'll have these established churches come in. It's like, well, you know, sometimes, you know, churches get kind of too tied up with buildings and stuff like that, which I understand that. But, like, there's also a lot of work when it comes to being mobile. And, you know, Ramney's standing over here. I know he's not in the camera. But like he could affirm that, obviously, probably even more so than us, with them being in an even more dense city, just like set up and tear down. Like, there's something sweet about it in seeing the saints serve together, but also there's some trade-offs with that. You know, there's a lot of time that where I wish we could, like, stay longer in fellowship, but I'm having to say, like, hey, we gotta get out of the school because the janitor has to leave. And so, like, I think it's things like that that established churches maybe don't see. And if we want to do an event, we have to just really think, well, can we get on the calendar and do it? You know, so when I say I long for a building, I don't long for any sense of, like, oh, I will feel like we've made it if we have a building. But I really do think, like, man, this would really, you know, be nice to have. But, you know, we said, if anything, like, Lord, just help us be content. If you want us to be nomadic, like Abraham, you know, just, you know, I got the promises of God in my heart and that's about it. You know, we'll just keep laboring like that. And just, Lord, just keep us content. And I think he has kept us content, but yeah, that's our hopes, is that we would have a place, you know, where we could worship one day, and even like, you know, if there's ways that we can use it to be a resource for the community as well, do that as well. But obviously what we're looking at would be a pretty small scale, building, but yeah, that's our hope. We're pursuing that right now. We're kind of in the midst of going through a lot of red tape with the city, and just seeing what's going to happen on the other end of that. But yeah.
If it was one fun fact or cool thing you could say about New Orleans, what would it be?
Oh man. Everybody's gonna like know this, but like when I think of like what I think is fun about New Orleans, I love the New Orleans Saints. Like, I mean, I don't know if Ramsey has a team like that he pulls for like in New York, but I love being in the same city that my team is in, and just the everything that's about the culture of following that team. Now, of course, some of that is idolatrous. I think they've literally like have statistics to show that crime goes up when the Saints lose. I mean, so that's sad. But I really just love being in the city, pulling for a team that's actually, you know, competitive and good. You know, how long that's going to last, don't know. We're enjoying it for the moment. That's not like a surprising thing to mention, but that is like one thing I think just growing up in small town Mississippi, you watch sports, but like it felt so far removed from you. Whereas, you know, I've been, there's been a couple of times where I've, you know, preached the sermon, and I had a friend in the congregation that has season tickets, and, you know, we'll wrap up the service and it was like, hey, you want to go to the game? And, you know, I'll just, you know, we'll just go there and get there right in the first quarter. So that's just been a different, you know, experience for me, and just being someone who's loved sports and growing up playing football, that it's been, yeah, that's one fun thing for me. And it's fun for our family. Like, I think like our kids enjoy, our kids really enjoy watching Saints games, not so much watching Saints, but that's kind of like, I mean, I'm pretty quiet, I'm pretty reserved, you know, but I get pretty animated, you know, watching the Saints play. So our kids, they really like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify. And if you want to find out more, please go to our website at emmanuelnetwork.org.